Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome to Movie Shmovie.
Episode
29.
We posted the episode right at the same time.
Knock on wood.
So episode 29. This is a really, really special episode. Probably one of my favorite times of the year.
Right. This is the WrestleMania, the Super Bowl, the whatever you
want. Grammys.
The Grammys
of the film industry. Yeah, man.
And I guess what's been happening lately is, the older I get, the more I want to watch more of the movies that are being nominated. So,
and I mean, for anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about the Academy Awards.
Academy Awards.
The 84th annual
Academy
Awards.
Wow.
They air Sunday evening, the 26th at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you're listening to this podcast before then. It'll be up a few days beforehand.
Yeah.
But what we're going to basically do, we're both obviously huge movie nerds. We're going to be going through the categories. We're going to hit on all the main categories that are going to be featured on Sunday night.
Right.
But we're not going to spend a lot of time on some of them, honestly, because we haven't seen some of the films.
Yeah.
Some of the ones we don't have access to. Like some of the shorts.
Right.
Some of the foreign films, just not really have the ability to check out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Eventually we will.
We will.
Eventually we will, but at the current time, it's not happening.
Yeah. I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous about this. I've been nervous all week. I feel like I've been having to poop. Like, I only get nervous two times like this. When I have to do a podcast and before coitus.
Well, have you ever considered that you may actually have to poop?
No.
Have you tried going?
Yeah.
Maybe you're just really constipated.
I cop a squat and
nothing happens.
No.
Ghost. Just air.
My heart is pounding right now. I just get nervous. I think because you make these decisions about what you think is going to be the winner, and then.
Yeah, no, we had this conversation like whenever we pick our like favorite movies of the year or right. our worst or whatever.
No,
it feels so finite.
It does.
But with this, it actually is. Not what we pick, but I mean, Sunday night, somebody goes home with that gold man, and it's written in history.
Right.
You know, so this is a huge thing. Not that our vote actually matters, but
right.
hopefully you have an opinion and you can share it with us if you want to
it's
on our site.
It's going to be an Academy Award winning actor.
Yeah.
When the DVD
gets reprinted or the Blu-ray right. gets reprinted, it can't have all those
right.
winner of 10 Academy Awards.
But even to be a nominee is a pretty good, you know.
Dude, when you consider how many movies come out in a year.
That's pretty prestigious.
I mean, you know, God, to be a part of. If you look at all the categories, the number of films nominated, you're probably looking at about maybe 30, 40 titles,
mm-hmm.
you know, throughout all the major categories. And to be that percentage of the total body of films that came out this year, I think you're doing something pretty good if you're in that you're in that group.
Absolutely.
So like I said, we're going to kind of go through the categories. We're going to spend some more time on the bigger ones, you know, like best film, director, actor, actress, all that good stuff. Some of the technical categories we're going to go through a little bit. We're going to still throw our picks out for the ones of, you know, that we think are going to win. And for the most part, that's the way this podcast is going to go. We're going to be basically saying our picks for what we think is going to win on Sunday night.
Right.
There may be some crossover in some of the categories where, you know, our personal opinion on, like, what our pick would be if we were given the award would be. Like, if it's that close or there might be that possible upset or whatever. That gray area that we just had a lot of trouble deciding on one. But for the most part, the way that we're trying to structure it is that, you know, we're going to be picking what we think you're going to be seeing win the award.
Right.
On the 26th.
Probably. Yeah. I think our opinions are pretty.
You think we're pretty in tune?
Yeah, we're pretty in tune. I mean, considering that, like, I think they said the percentage of people that watch these films are, like, you know, like-minded. I don't know. I think it's a formula that kind of goes into it that I think we're pretty in tune to. So,
yeah, I mean, you can look at a lot of. I mean, I feel like as I've watched these over the years, and like I definitely get really excited for the Oscars. Like, they used to have events here in Baltimore where you could go to like an AMC or a Lowe's theater and you could like watch it on the big screen. You get dressed up, and my friends and I used to go all the time, and it was amazing.
I would love to.
But for some reason, they stopped doing it. So now we just kind of have a party at our house and watch it, and it's still fun times. But
yeah.
It's something that we've been watching for years, and, you know, it kind of, like you said, I kind of feel in tune to a lot of the decision. I mean, obviously, who makes up the Academy is very, it's varied. You know, like, you know, you have filmmakers, producers, you know, casting agents, you know, actors, you know, industry people.
Yeah.
So it's a very diverse pool. So, I mean, even though we say we're kind of in tune, we're basing it basically off of how the tracking goes in years prior and, you know, kind of who walks away with the gold at the end of the night.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to start off with one of the technical categories.
Oh, yes. So the first category is visual effects.
And the nominees are... We have Hugo, Real Steel, Transformers Dark of the Moon, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows
right.
Part Deux.
So I think that Rise of the Planet of the Apes...
I think we're on the same page there.
Right, it's just... Come on. I mean, almost the entire cast of characters were apes.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need to know. And it looks so seamless, and I think that the fact that there was a little underground movement for Andy Serkis possibly getting a nomination in the supporting actor category for his role as Caesar. Didn't happen, but a lot of it goes not only to Andy's performance, but also to how well the visual effects were handled.
Oh, yeah.
How seamless it looked. You know, the other contenders all, especially probably Transformers and Harry Potter, in my opinion, are, you know, very well done. And, you know, Harry Potter's won this award before. I don't know that just because it's the last one in the series that it'll happen again.
Right.
But I think overall, Rise of the Planet of the Apes is going to be acknowledged for its achievement in that category.
All right, so next category, sound mixing. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Moneyball, Transformers, and Warhorse.
What do you got there?
So my pick is Transformers. And the reason why I picked this is kind of the idea that this is a pretty far-fetched idea.
Mm-hmm.
Robots coming down to Earth. And the fact that the sounds that are provided are so kind of... I don't know, real? They feel real, mm-hmm. and it's weaved in well enough that you can believe that these things could come down, and it's the music is kind of married into the whole soundtrack pretty well.
Right.
I enjoyed it. So, I mean, I think I'm going to pick Transformers.
I actually am going to go with, we're on sound mixing, right?
Sound mixing.
Yeah, sound mixing, I'm going to go with Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a tough category. I mean, it's actually, I think the fact that Martin Scorsese is involved with it kind of gives a little of that, like, by, I don't know, we talked about this before the episode, but, you know, kind of gives some of that voter bias to a film like this.
Right.
Obviously, Hugo has a lot of love for it. In terms of the mixing, I think that Hugo does have a really impressive... What's the best word? Like, I guess a palette of sound. I mean, I think that when you watch the movie, like, with the music and the sound effects and being where the film takes place in that train station, the sounds that we're hearing, it just kind of makes for an experience.
Right.
I think the next category that we're going to talk about is a little bit of a different story, though, and that's going to be...
Sound editing. So, Drive, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Transformers, and Warhorse. So it's pretty much the same thing except for Drive weaved in there. And this may be the only category that Drive is up for, which is a kick in the balls a little bit. But I don't know how I feel about that. But which one did you pick for sound editing?
I actually went with Transformers on this one.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, and this is where the difference comes in with these two categories is that I think that when you talk about sound editing, you're talking about sounds that are being created for the film.
Right.
You know, non-existent or, you know, I guess that's where, from my understanding, one of the big differences from between sound mixing and sound editing, you're taking sounds that already exist, you know, sampled noises, stuff like that, and making it go well together. And that's the mixing element. But the editing, it has a little more to do with being able to create those sounds from scratch, you know, maybe in a studio or possibly from other films, but you know, it's a different thing. I mean, it's kind of hard to really grasp it. And I've only recently begun to be able to differentiate the categories.
Right.
But if I look at a film like the Transformers, Transformers Dark of the Moon, it's a film that I can watch and hear that, hear and feel like the example of what the category means a little more.
Yeah.
Especially, we saw the film in IMAX. Remember, I don't know if you remember seeing it in IMAX 3D.
It was so...
That's a experience. And the sound in an IMAX theater is where you can really experience an element of the film that is not just IMAX in terms of the screen and the digital presentation, but the sound itself is a completely different experience. And being able to feel a film like that, you know, sonically, is where I can give kudos to that for that category specifically. Right. So... What do we got next?
Next is the original song. So, Man or Puppet from the Muppets, and also Real and Rio from Rio.
I'm going to give it to the Muppets.
Yeah, Muppets is going
to win. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, like, the Muppets got to win something. Right. I never saw Rio. Man, who's not a fan of Kermit and Miss Piggy?
Right. So, I guess you want to do original score?
Yeah, let's see who we have here. Original score, we have The Adventures of Tintin, The Artist, Hugo, Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, and Warhorse as our nominees. For the original score, I'm actually going to give this to Hugo as well.
Really?
I'm going to go with Hugo. Yeah, I know everyone's talking probably what you're picking.
Right, The Artist, of course.
That has a really good shot at winning. I don't know. I just have a feeling, like something about Hugo, something with that movie's, with the music.
Original soundtrack, yeah, I'm going to pick The Artist, so that's my pick.
You went with The Artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Artist, okay.
So the next category we have, we got here.
Makeup. So Albert Nobbs, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, and The Iron Lady. I was thinking about this. It's hard because Harry Potter is a movie that's supposed to have a lot of makeup. And right. That's always been well done. But the more I think about it, I think that Albert Nobbs might be the pick for that. Because it was, I mean, this is a woman who's put in makeup as a man, and she lives her life as a man. So I think that this might be the winner, Albert Nobbs. I mean, it's, I don't know. I think it's going to win.
Right.
I think it's going to win.
Honestly, I haven't seen Albert Nobbs.
Yeah.
Or,
come on, Glenn Close,
the Iron Lady. As a man. I don't know,
About the makeup in that movie looks kind of unnatural, though. I mean,
in which one?
In Albert Nobbs. I don't know if you've seen.
Yeah, I've seen. I've seen like the clips and the promos for it, but I don't know.
Still, I think they're gonna still give it.
I'm gonna go with Iron Lady. I'm gonna go for the random one. I haven't seen either. I've seen like clips and. I do agree with you what you said about Harry Potter, though. I feel like it's kind of like, you know, it's an achievement, but right, I don't know that it's going to be something that...
Albert Nobbs is my pick, so hopefully it'll be that, so...
You all right?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Just
I can see how like uncomfortable you're getting.
It makes me so nervous. Okay, so next, foreign language film. Bullhead, Footnote, In Darkness... Monsieur Lazare and A Separation. Okay, my pick is A Separation.
Agreed. In full disclosure, I haven't seen the other films. Separation, right, same. Is one of the top rated films of the year.
Right, okay, yeah.
Even on IMDb, it's like one of the top 100 of all time already, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I recently saw the film, it's incredible. I can't imagine, and no disrespect to any of those other films in the category, that any of those films have a chance of beating that,
right.
Beating A Separation.
One of the things that's pretty amazing about the A Separation in general is it does a lot with the space that it works with. There aren't too many locales for this thing. It's like the alley. I mean, the town that's just very brief. The apartment, them traveling in a car, and then the court. Pretty much the court area. So, I mean, I think that they used space very well. Yeah. Now, in terms of the next category, these two I don't have an opinion on. That's why I skipped over them. Animated short film and live action.
See, these are tough, man, because like, you know, they have these opportunities in certain towns that you can go see these films, the theater.
Yeah.
Like, I think here in Baltimore, the Charles Theater had an opportunity to show it briefly.
But it was very brief.
Yeah, I mean, and I just did not have a chance. And honestly, like, I think you can buy them on iTunes, the animated ones.
Right.
I just didn't have the time or the care to spend money on it right now. But I would say that if I had to pick something just from what I've been able to research, I'm always backing Pixar no matter what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So La Luna in the animated short film category, you know, John Lasseter is a producer on that film who's, you know, obviously Pixar magic. But and in the live action short film category, I would go with The Shore.
Okay.
I know you have no concept of what those movies are.
No.
I watched all the trailers from the day, you know, or the other day, or the past few days, and I've done some research on some of the reviews.
Right, right.
Those seem to be front runners, I'd say.
Gotcha, front runners.
Yeah. Man, so, we dropped the ball in that category.
We did.
But, you know, whatever.
It's a lot of movies.
Couldn't see them. We couldn't see them.
We've seen the bulk of these movies. Give us a little credit.
A little bit of credit. Thank you.
So, film editing. The Artist, The Descendants, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, and Moneyball. I, sir, chose The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I, sir, chose...
Yeah, so that's my pick. It was, I think that some of the transitions from the action scenes to sort of the calming sort of periods to just some of the visual choices, just the, it was a very gray movie. Mm-hmm. And it was handled very well, just kind of isolating moods through colors.
Sure.
And I think that it's pretty amazing how it was done. So I think film editing has to go to Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I mean, it's probably not going to get it.
Yeah, any other year, I would totally agree with that. I mean, because I'm always a fan of Fincher, and I think that his filmmaking style is incredible. Effing
Hugo is in the category.
You know, honestly, I'm going to go with The Artist.
Really?
I think a lot,
I didn't think about how... Yeah. Yeah.
I think you have to give credit, you know, because...
It was edited beautifully.
I'll be honest with you. Like, this film really took me by surprise, even though everybody and their mother have been talking about it.
Yeah.
I saw it very late in the game. I saw it on a trip to Florida about a month ago, and watched it, and, you know, straight through the flight. It was amazing. Loved it. I think that, you know, in terms of the filmmaking process, the editing in a film like that, a silent film, it plays a really big factor in the way a film is pieced together.
Yeah.
You know, and not making, and obviously a lot of that also goes hand in hand with directing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think that, you know, the editing team for that film also needs to have their kudos, because I mean, I've seen a handful of silent films in my life, you know, and for a film to keep you interested, not just in content, but in the visual experience, I think really says a lot in terms of the creative team that was behind it.
Yeah, I think what's ironic, too, is the effects that are used in that movie, the things that we kind of don't accept in current filmmaking, screen wipes and... Yeah. Sort of it fading to a circle sort of thing, like old Warner Brothers cartoons and stuff like that. These things were used tastefully and done and placed in the right spots where it felt natural. It didn't feel like it was like, that's tacky, that's corny. And it was done so well. So, I mean, The Artist is what I want to win. I think that for the sake of breaking the monotony, they're going to give it to something else, though.
You think so?
Yeah. I think that Artist is going to win the bigger categories. But these sorts of small things, just for the sake of being fair, you know what I mean? Like, I think that everybody is pretty much enamored by this movie. And I think that to not give some of these movies some recognition just because of that fact, I think that they're going to give some of these to some other categories. I mean, some other movies.
I mean, I'm down with spreading the love.
Yeah, yeah, spreading the love.
It's so, always kind of boring when somebody sweeps everything.
Right, but I have a feeling,
yeah,
this might be one of those years. So, you want to do documentary shorts?
Yeah, what do we have here? Documentary short category. We have God is the Bigger Elvis, Incident in New Baghdad, Saving Face, The Tsunami and the Cherry Blossom, and The Barber of Birmingham, Foot Soldier of the Civil Rights Movement. I've only seen one of these. There's by God's chance I saw The Tsunami and The Cherry Blossom.
Okay.
So I don't really, you know, I feel bad with some of these categories not really having seen a lot of the smaller films, independent films that didn't get any kind of distribution here before actually receiving their nominations.
Right.
So I feel like a little uninformed in terms of what's going to happen. I think that film has a really good shot at winning. From what I think, from a lot of reviews I've read, Saving Face has a lot of backing for it as well.
Gotcha.
But I'd like to see the Tsunami and the Cherry Blossom take home the gold. It's very, very impressive little short. Have you seen any of the documentaries in that category?
No, none. I've seen none. I feel terrible, but guess what? We're going to go to the next one. Documentary feature. And that, my friends, Hell and Back Again, If a Tree Falls, A Story of the Earth, Liberation Front, Paradise Lost 3, Purgatory, Pina, and Undefeated. So I've seen previews of these. I've seen bits and pieces of Paradise Lost. I think that it's going to be Paradise Lost. I mean, or Pina. I don't know. I think that those two look pretty powerful. So I'm going with those two. I'm not sure of the two of those, which one.
This is a really good example of timing when it comes to award season.
Yeah.
A lot of these, same with some of the other categories we talked about, like, you know, just weren't available to see both of the Academy members. You know, studios making films available for those members to see and obviously vote for, but also to the public just for awareness. A movie like Undefeated, which is just now starting to get a little bit of buzz and a little more backing in terms of its chances at the Academy Awards, which could really help it win the Best Documentary Feature Award. I would say my personal vote is one of those categories where I feel like that may win, but my personal vote would be for Paradise Lost 3. I know I talked about it on one of the prior podcast episodes that we did, but Paradise Lost, just kind of like the bookend on a really impressive documentary trilogy, you know, that it was available on HBO. It's on, like, I think you can stream it online now, by Joe Berlinger and Bruce Sanofsky, about the West Memphis 3. I just love the film. I would love to see it go home with an award just for the purpose that it's caused. You know, it would be amazing. But in addition, Undefeated, still a very impressive documentary. You know, it could be really close. I think the Undefeated would be the perfect, if it wins, I think it's a perfect example of how timing, in terms of publicity and promotional pushes of a film once you receive the award nomination, really can make or break a chance that a film could win the actual award the night of the Oscars.
Gotcha.
But did you throw your pick out already, or
for the documentary
feature?
I have nothing there, man. I mean, I said it might be between Pina and Paradise Lost. Yeah, so I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I don't really have a sure pick, unfortunately.
Surefire.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're going to, I mean, we got a couple other of the, what do we have next? Costume design?
Costume design.
We have, the nominees are Anonymous, The Artist, Hugo, Jane Eyre, and W.E. I've not even heard of or seen W.E. until past.
That's a Madonna-directed movie, right?
Yeah, like the past week I heard about it, and I was just like, what is this film? And then I saw a poster for it at the movie theater that's not even playing it.
Right.
Have you seen it? I haven't seen it.
No, I have not. That's the problem. It's limited, super limited distribution. So I didn't even know any movie theaters. When I looked up the closest movie theater, it was playing in DC for a very limited time, and then I didn't have enough time to go see it. So
yeah,
there that goes.
I did not see Anonymous. I think this is another situation where we're kind of going to go on a run here with the next couple of categories where I feel like The Artist could be the winner or possible spoiler. Right. I think this film, this category traditionally goes with some of the vintage Victorian, you know, looking kind of costumes. And that would lead me to believe that Jane Eyre probably could possibly walk home with the award. If anything, we're going to upset it, though. I would put my vote in the basket for The Artist.
Same.
What do you got?
I put The Artist.
The Artist?
The Artist, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that it's going to kind of hit. The Artist is definitely the film at this year's award show that is nominated for so many things that it literally could go on a run where it could win everything it's nominated for.
Exactly.
Or there's going to be a handful of categories in these midline technical things like the costume design and the next couple that we're going to talk about, which is cinematography, you know, art direction. These types of categories, it's right there. It could win it, or there could be, you know, the other film, you know, in those two categories that could upset it. You know, they're neck and neck. In terms of cinematography, the nominees that we have for that are The Artist, like I said, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, Hugo, Tree of Life, and War Horse. So what do you got there?
Tree of Life is winning.
Yeah?
It is a beautiful turd. So, I mean, I can't deny how beautiful that movie was. Like, it is crisp, brilliant colors. Tree of Life, I mean, for its lack of story and how boring it was one of the most beautiful movies I have ever seen in my entire life. Tree of Life.
You think so?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Incredible. I don't
know how much you hated that movie.
Hated it. It looks beautiful, though.
That's why you called it the pile of crap, right?
Yeah. A beautiful turd.
Maybe that's what comes out of you after this podcast. Yeah. You can relax.
A beautiful tree of life-esque turd. Yes.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen Tree of Life, you know, so my picks were going to go that same seesaw back and forth between either The Artist or Hugo.
Really?
Yeah. I think as much as I did not like Hugo, these technical categories, right. Especially in talking about when I mentioned, sound mixing?
Mm-hmm.
Usually sound mixing and cinematography kind of go hand in hand.
Right.
Traditionally, who takes home those awards? So, I mean, which leads me to believe that Hugo may win this category.
Right.
But, I mean, the upset, in my opinion, would probably be The Artist.
Right. So, I guess next is art direction, something kind of closely related.
Yep.
The Artist, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows 2, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, and War Horse. Now, in this case, I have to say that Hugo is probably going to win this. I think that this movie was the closest thing to a painting that I've seen in a long time in terms of movies.
Not even forgetting to mention that most people that saw this film or went to see the film thought that it was either going to be animated,
right,
or animated and 3D,
right,
you know, all these things, which if you watch the trailer before you saw the film, it looks like that. Like you said, it looks like
an animated
painting,
movie.
You know, but it's not.
It's so strange. Like, I think that the common color in this movie is like a goldish, rust looking color, brownish sort of color that's everywhere.
Yeah.
And that in contrast to the people's skin tones and the clothing that Sacha Baron Cohen wore and the little kid wore, that stuff makes for a very beautiful looking movie. And then the sets, the chairs and it almost felt like I was looking at a painting. I said that already, but a lot of the times, some of the scenes, I was just really kind of mesmerized by how beautiful it looked. And for that reason, I think art direction is pretty much going to be Hugo, hands down.
Okay.
Hands down.
All right, so we're going to go and talk about the two screenplay categories right now.
sorry. That was an evil laugh.
So basically, starting with the original screenplay category, we have The Artist, Margin Call, Bridesmaid, Midnight in Paris, and A Separation.
Huh.
What do you got for me, Ronald?
Man, this is a hard one.
Is it really?
Yeah, but probably The Artist. I mean, I think A Separation has that chance to win. That's the dark horse. Everybody talks about the dark horse? That's the dark horse, but I think that The Artist is going to win.
It's really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you say...
You know what I'm going to say.
If you say Midnight in Paris, I'm going to break your legs.
You just said it for me.
You bastard.
You mark my words, man. That goes home with the award.
Oh, man. I can see what you mean. It's
Woody Allen, first off.
This is going to be considered Woody Allen's,
It's one of his best films of recent years, if not period. I mean, especially in the writing, in regards to the writing for the film. I know you weren't a fan. I love the film.
Yeah.
It's gotten nothing but love from the Writers Guild, from every basic major critic circle.
Which equals that it may win.
It's going to win. If there's an upset or a dark horse in that category, I would give it to you for A Separation.
Yeah.
Not for The Artist.
Dark horse.
Yeah. If anything, it would be that. Okay. So going to adapted screenplay, we have Hugo, The Descendants, Moneyball, Ides of March, and Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy.
The Descendants.
Agreed.
Alexander Payne does many adaptations from novels, Sideways, About Schmidt, Election. These are all book adaptations, which have been done beautifully.
Yeah.
So I don't think this isn't going to be an except. Like, he is so good at that. So I think that Alexander Payne's ability to adapt these kind of,
It's like the plight of middle-aged men.
Right.
He's like aces when it comes to that.
He is, and I think that this is a meaty sort of script that really, the heart of it really was the dialogue, and I think that Alexander Payne, he has it for adapted screenplay, so.
Agreed.
All right.
All right, so what we got next? We got director.
Do we have director?
I think so.
Oh, crap. We do have
director. I'm going to go director now, and then we'll come back to the one I think you thought I was going to say.
Okay.
Director. Just because I feel like it goes good after we talk about the screenplay.
Yeah.
So the nominees for Best Director, Terrence Malick.
Okay.
Tree of Life. Woody Allen, Midnight in Paris. Alexander Payne for The Descendants. Martin Scorsese for Hugo. And Michael Hanazavicius. No, Hanazavicius.
Yeah, it's like vicious.
At yeah, Hanazavicius. Yeah. For The Artist. I'm sorry, Michael.
For butchering
your name. Michelle, if I pronounce your name wrong.
All right.
What do you got, man?
The Artist.
Done.
Moving Art. Come on.
Yep.
What? I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of the OSS 117 series. Bits and pieces. Mind you, just clips and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this guy is really good at creating just this world, these worlds. And I think that when it comes to The Artist, I think that what's impressive, I know this is a really simple thing, is to kind of take you out of where you are, your modern living, and take you into this world where there was no sound in movies, and these characters relied solely on their facial expressions, gestures, and things like that to kind of paint the picture, along with the music and stuff like that. So I think that this was the movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely, I think he's definitely going on. And it kind of, I mentioned it when I chose the editing category.
Mm-hmm.
I chose The Artist. I think it goes, I kind of alluded to it, it goes hand in hand. I think the ability to make this film so entertaining,
mm-hmm.
in a silent film in 2012, to be so successful and so received, right. And so affecting its audience, it's just, it's an achievement, and it's an amazing film. So now we're going to take a step back. We're going to talk about Best Animated Feature.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I saw you got upset. Like, what about the cartoons? So what do we got there?
So, A Cat in Paris, Chico and Rita, Kung Fu Panda 2, Puss in Boots, and Rango. So my pick is Rango. Come on.
Come on.
Gore Verbinski, the Pirates movies. You know, he's a good director. Come on.
Dude, the second and third Pirates movie is
great. They're terrible, but I think he's very good at making movies that kind of,
good at making movies that I just said were complete shit.
Right.
So what does that say about him?
They're not good, but I mean, I think that he's really good at painting a picture, man. Like, I think that the story was questionable, but you can't doubt the visuals. You can't doubt the directing.
Yeah, I think Rango is an incredible animator. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. Like, you know, the voice talent, the story itself. I know they're making a sequel to it.
Really?
I mean, Gore Verbinski, he has a unique eye for film. I mean,
yeah.
It being an animated film is a newer territory for him. I mean, he did make The Ring. The first Pirates film, I really was a fan of. The other ones, not so much.
Right.
But, I mean, Rango is like that animated film that's super smart. You know, kids can like it, mom and dad, mm-hmm. you know, brother, sister, they can all laugh at it for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got edge. And I think that's what a lot of animated features today have, is that it goes across all those categories. And a film like this is just lucky that that Pixar didn't have a film in the category this year.
Right, because it would have blown it up.
Yeah, they would have had a shot. But Rango, I mean, honestly, Rango is up for the challenge. I mean, I think
right. if a Pixar film was in there. I think it rivals, I think that's what's so good about it. It rivals that sort of like Pixar ideology behind its films, a quality that goes into it.
Yeah.
Rango rivals it. I think that it's one of those movies, like if I see another movie like Rango by another studio, I might start to...
It also just kind of like taps into what Pixar is so good at, is that it's the story.
Yeah.
It's as much time and detail and thought are spent in these films as if it was a live action film.
It's more PG though. It's more PG than a Pixar movie though.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
People died in it.
It's edgier. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's edgier. So.
And I mean, the fact that it can be successful through a different studio system, it's not only Pixar pushing these films out. It's kind of cool.
Right.
I mean, I love Pixar. Don't get me wrong. And I would see and love probably anything they put out. But it's good to see that they don't have a true monopoly on that whole.
Yeah, definitely.
Category.
Okay, so you have to do this next one.
What's our next one? Supporting actress?
Supporting actress.
So for supporting actress, this is a pretty amazing crop of talent in this category.
I hate that there are so many hard...
Yeah. I mean, I think this decision who's going to win is... I'm pretty confident in who's going with it, but our nominees are Melissa McCarthy for Bridesmaids, Jessica Chastain for The Help, Janet McTeer for Albert Nobbs, Octavia Spencer for The Help, and Berenice Bayo for The Artist. Octavia Spencer. Again, she's cleaned up at pretty much every major awards,
right.
Ceremony, show, circle, film society, whatever, take your pick. And she is, I went in seeing the film The Help with pretty low expectations. I'd heard everybody raving about it and loving it. Again, saw it late in the game. Watched it on a whim one evening with my girlfriend and could not stop watching it and raved about it for like 48 hours afterwards. She's incredible in it. One of those performances that, I know it's cliche, and I don't know, I probably will say it again when we start talking about the actress category, but it's like one of those performances where you are so affected by the character, not the actress.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the actress takes over so much control of that character that you literally are seeing that on the screen. You're not seeing that name. You're not seeing Octavia Spencer, you know, or whoever it would have been that played that. But her ability to take that out of it for me, to take that element out of that performance.
Oh, yeah. That's what
and
makes
to say,
a good
oh, my
actor.
God, this character is incredible. You know, it's just like you root for her. You laugh with her. You cry for her. You hold your breath for her. You know, the situations that she's in this film, she's amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Guess, I mean, same choice? Or
same choice. Same choice.
Okay.
Now, what's... So supporting actress.
Supporting actor would be next.
Supporting actor?
Yeah.
Okay, so supporting actor. I don't know how to pronounce most of these people's names. I'm going to be honest with you.
What do you mean?
Kenneth.
Branagh?
Yeah, okay. My Week with Marilyn. Jonah Hill. Moneyball. Nick Nolte. Warrior. Christopher Plummer. Beginners. Max von...
Sydow.
Okay. Extremely Loud and Extremely Close.
Incredibly Close.
Incredibly Close. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My pick for this... Oh, Christopher Plummer, definitely, for Beginners.
Yeah. I've seen the movie, and I don't really love the movie, but he's amazing.
Right.
I wouldn't say that I'm even, like, a huge fan of his. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I would have loved to have seen some other actors nominated in this category.
Yeah.
I want to give some props to Jonah Hill. I thought he was great in Moneyball.
He was.
You know, really kind of stretching his legs and showing that he's a viable actor. He's not just a funny guy from Superbad. But Christopher Plummer is definitely taking this award with him. What do we got next? Actress.
Glenn Close, Albert Nobbs, Viola Davis, The Help, Rooney Mara, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Meryl Streep, The Iron Lady, and Michelle Williams, My Week with Marilyn.
Get a little tongue-tied there?
Yeah. Because this is the leading stuff makes me really nervous.
Yeah.
So, all right. This is how it's going to go. I want Viola Davis to win.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is Meryl Streep, they love her face, man. They love her face. And I want Viola Davis to win. But I think that the dark horse... might be Meryl Streep.
You know those moments you're talking about, like, make you nervous and make you poop? Or maybe want to poop?
Yeah.
We talk about poop a lot in this episode.
We do.
These are the situations when we talk about award shows that make me nervous.
Right.
You know, I feel like Meryl Streep, amazing actress. You know, you'd be challenged to find films that she was not at least really good in.
Right.
In her career. But every year she has a film out. And every year she's at least really good. And every year she gets a nomination. And it just adds a little bit of competition to somebody that should just be able to walk away with this award.
Yeah.
Competition's good. Competition's fair. I'm a big fan of it. But not when it's always Meryl Streep.
Right. And I think that the problem with this is Viola Davis is a person that can be in some amazing upcoming films. Meryl Streep already has a name for herself. I hate that she knocks everybody down a tier when she's nominated for something. You know what it does, though? If you don't win this award... your chances of getting those award-winning movies lessens, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so I hope that she wins it. I want her to win it. And
she should win it.
She should win it. But Meryl Streep, her fucking star power, she has a tendency to knock people down a tier. And I don't want that to affect.
And the same thing can be said about Viola Davis's performance, as I said about Octavia Spencer. They're like tandem. For me, they're like.
Right.
they're together. Like, I don't feel like one could win without the other. Even though I feel like Octavia is, like, a sure thing, I'm pretty confident that Viola Davis will win. But those two, their characters, their that sister camaraderie, like, they just gelled together, and one worked because of the other, and vice versa. So it would be a true travesty if...
It would be.
If Viola does not win this award because of Meryl Streep being so damn good
right.
in her career. And probably not even as good as, you know... I mean...
Probably not as good.
I haven't seen The Iron Lady to be... I'll be totally honest.
I haven't either.
So I'm not going to knock the film, but I can almost... I could put money on it that she doesn't touch Viola Davis in The Help. Hands down.
Okay.
Coming down the stretch here, we have Best Actor. Best Actor. So we have George Clooney for The Descendants. Gary Oldman for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Is it Demian Bichir for A Better Life?
I think that's probably the closest I've heard of.
Yeah, I'm good. Pretty good with
You're
this
good
stuff,
with
man.
You're good with that.
Jean Desjardins for The Artist. And my man, Brad Pitt, for Moneyball. Hey, Brad. All right, so... this is actually going to be, I think this is going to be one of the closer categories of the night.
I think so too.
Where it could be a coin toss. I think that Jean Desjardins is going to take it home for the artist.
Okay, I think that he's going to. I want him to.
You want him to.
Clooney face.
Clooney face is infect. What is the word?
Infectious.
Infectious.
He
yeah.
is. But like he's a charismatic guy. He was so good in this movie. And I think that this movie was good for him because he always plays the hero figure in the movie. Mm. To see somebody that's kind of descending, kind of falling into this sort of depression
yeah.
and realizing all these things about his past that he may not have known otherwise if his wife wasn't going through what she was going through.
Yeah.
It's really hard to deny him an award for him playing something outside of what he normally does.
Yeah.
But also, Jean, come on.
I don't know. I think the common thread when you talk about The Artist, you're talking about a film that there's very, 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 very little spoken word.
Right. And that also.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people are like, well, how can you win a Best Actor award if you don't say a word? Well, why is that even a factor? You know, like, why would that be a reason for you to say, let's not give him an award? Everything that he doesn't do with words, I mean, almost physical performances, your face, your emotion, you know, to be able to convey that and to act that part and to embody that character without saying a word and telling the audience what you're thinking by reading dialogue or what you want to say by saying it.
Right.
You know what I mean? To be able to have that impression and have somebody go along for the story with you without saying a word. And he's so damn charismatic in this movie.
He is. I want him to win.
He's the man. I want to. Right. I mean, he literally in this movie is like George Clooney is in real life.
Right.
He's that like very charming. You know, he's like everybody loves him. And I mean, obviously through the course of the film, things change for him. But when you talk about the Clooney, you know, George Clooney's the man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to boast a little bit here. I'm going to say I got to hang out with George Clooney in real life.
Really?
And he's even awesomer. Yes, I said awesomer.
Awesomer?
In real life than he is on TV.
Which is hard to believe.
Dude, he's the man. He offered to buy me a drink. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. That's
and
amazing.
He is really nice. And, you know, if he wins, I wouldn't mind.
Right.
But I think Jean is...
Jean is like... kind of beckons back to the older sort of actors that were like large men, kind of bold, really strong features. I think that that stuff... I think that the fact that he's so powerful in that movie kind of means that... I think that we need people like that.
Yeah.
We need people like that. Like, there's a lack of it. There's a lack of... I mean, with the exception of George Clooney and Brad Pitt's in the acting sort of industry, there aren't too many very, like, testosterone sort of, like, old school way of looking at men.
Yeah, you'd like to tap into that, like, that old vintage, like, movie
star. Yeah, the
star.
Vintage sort of man. Like, yeah. I got a smoke and a cigarette.
Like
and,
the Cary Grants.
Right.
And, yeah.
Grabbing a woman by her waist and kind of kissing her right in front of everybody. Like, that kind of stuff is lost. And I think that he makes it so real in this movie. So.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting. I think that's the coin. That's the coin toss of all the categories.
Right. That's going to be the hardest one.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm very anxious to see what happens. I would love to see Brad Pitt go home with it. I love Brad Pitt in Moneyball. I think it's his best performance.
Probably not
going to
Leading actor, leading actress going to be my ones that I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I mean, I think as much as I would love to see Brad finally win something, you know, in the best actor category.
It's a bad year to come up.
Because it is his best performance to date.
Yeah.
I don't think many people would argue that, but you're in contention with people that set the bar even higher.
Right, which sucks.
So what do we got left here, Ronald?
Best picture.
One category.
Oh, my goodness.
The big one of the night. Which, oddly enough, when I watch the Oscars, I feel like everything builds up and Best Picture just happens.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everything is like a build up to Best Picture, and like, they just, because they're usually running behind.
Right.
And they just like rush it.
Something makes me extremely uncomfortable about this. The fact that there's nine movies up for this.
So what do we got? What do we got?
The Artist, The Descendants, Extremely Loud, and Incredibly Close. The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, The Tree of Life, and War Horse.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Come on, buddy. The Artist.
Yeah.
Best Picture.
Okay, Artist, Best Picture, hands down. What do you think the possible upset is?
The Dark Horse. As it tramples in the darkness with its glowing horse eyes. I think that the one that could sneak up on you.
What do you got?
Could be The Help.
I agree with you.
It could be The Help.
The upset of the night.
Right.
Market right now.
Yeah.
Don't think it's going to happen. But a lot of people are like, oh, it's going to be The Descendants maybe, if not The Artist.
Yeah.
If The Artist does not win Best Picture, it's going to be The Help. It's going to be The Help.
Yeah.
So, it's that film that came out in the middle of the year, maintained its mojo, got through award season, and is still trucking along. And if it picks up two acting category awards, it only would strengthen its chance of pulling Best Picture.
Right. I think that it's pretty neat that in 2012, because, I mean, we need some pleasant reminders of how shitty things were for people back then.
Yeah.
I think that it's good that this was a kind of good timing. Like, it's just the fact that I feel like ethnicity, a lot of the times, used to stand in the way of people winning things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there were these powerful performances from people, and now it's a second fact. It's not a factor, and these are two women that have come and kind of destroyed this, like destroyed the idea of what a powerful performance is going to be like. They took it and they trampled it and made it even better. Like, I think that this movie could win, but because The Artist is such a feat, because it was released in a time where like there are no silent films.
Yep.
A time where there's no leads like this.
And it has that romanticism,
you know,
of it that's pretty timeless. Like, it does tap into some of those old films. The Help is also just that movie that everybody loves.
Right. The good part about The Help...
And that matters when you come down to voting.
Right. Somebody is going to snag an award. That's the good part. And it won't be forgotten. That's all I really wanted from this movie. Even though I didn't, like... wholeheartedly enjoy every aspect of this movie, because stuff like that's kind of hard for me to watch.
Yeah.
I think that if it snags something, best supporting, best actress, or film of the year, I think that it already won't be forgotten. But the fact that it snags one of these, I know it will.
It will cement it
as one of those movies that can't be forgotten.
Agreed. You know? So. Is that, regardless of all this, it's going to prove to be an amazing Academy Awards. I'm really excited to see Billy Crystal back up on the stage.
Really?
I'm a fan. I'm not going to lie. I think this is going to be his ninth time
really
hosting the awards. I'm a fan of he brings that old school comedy. I mean, he's a little, some people would say he's dated,
he's dated.
But I think it works for the Oscars. I think it works much better than what would have been probably Eddie Murphy and Brett Ratner producing. I think that would have been a train wreck. I honestly do. I used to love Eddie Murphy. I just don't think that he has the hosting ability of what the Oscars demand. Because some hosts, they completely just fall on their face.
Yeah, I totally
agree. But I mean, Billy Crystal, you know, he has a history. He's cheesy, you know. He's fucking cheesy.
But maybe cheesy might be the best thing for this. I kind of wish that they would have went with a Seinfeld-ish.
Okay.
Right? Like, Seinfeld, I think he's incredible. So, I don't know. I think they could have went with some. I mean, but maybe Billy Crystal will be.
I just love his, like, his openings, you know, like the opening song he normally does. And, like, when they like, film those montages of him, like, placed into clips from the Best Picture, you know, the nominees for the evening. that stuff is fun to me. That's what I like watching.
And they're going to sprinkle a bunch of comedians in it, too. So it's, yeah. I think it's going to be pretty solid.
It's going to be fun. And the music you said is being scored
Hans
by
Zimmer and Pharrell Williams,
which would be kind of sick. I didn't know that until you just told me that.
Yeah, I just saw a really long interview with Pharrell talking about it and how Hans and he had been working for so long on it and how it's just going to be really beautiful. And it's going to be sprinklings of, like, rock and hip-hop and... Randomly, though. They said they're going to do it tastefully.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
That's cool, man. Anything you can do to make it lively, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's going
to
be...
I feel like that's cool to have that element in there, which is kind of fresh, kind of new, and I think that'll mesh well with Billy Crystal. You know, he's kind of classic.
Yeah, so it's going to be solid, man.
So hopefully you guys are all tuning in Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Feel free to hit us up on the website, movieschmovie.net, movieschmovie@gmail.com if you completely disagree with our picks. Or if you want to rub it in, if we get everything wrong on Monday morning, you can send us an email and do so. I know a few people out there that probably already have their emails drafted and saved in their drafts folder. but yeah, we're going to get back on track following this. Next week, we're going to release another episode getting back to the review format that we have. Some pretty cool films coming up over the next couple weeks. If you got anything else to add, man?
Thank you for listening. And I really love doing this with you, man.
Yeah, man. Me too.
This is such a fun thing. I look forward to it every week. And when I talk to people about the show, they love it. So
it's fun, man. It's very laid back, very honest, very just conversational. Not so much in terms of like any kind of overproduction. It's literally just you and I hitting record and hanging out and talking about
movies. And when we get a little like sponsorship and stuff like that, it might be overproduced.
We're definitely going to sell out. We're selling out as soon as the opportunity comes up.
Right.
So enjoy it while it lasts, all right?
Because every segment's going to be sponsored by something. Trust me. This preview is sponsored by Sprite. And then I'm going,
this has been brought to you by bacon. Right. It's just bacon in general. Right. Not just, a brand of bacon. But yeah, guys, thanks so much for listening, and be sure to tune in to the next episode, and don't forget, Oscars.
Oscars.
Sunday the 26th.
Watch it, please.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.